pray deeply and pray with all your heart. I mean that not figuratively. To pray means to open one's will to God. A retreat is a period of reflection. Think. Over the past, present, but especially the future. And the closer I get to eternity, the more convinced I am that most people just don't do enough prayerful thinking. Place yourself in God's presence and think, knowing that you're not thinking alone, that God is thinking not just with you, but within you. A retreat is a time of decision. During retreat time, we are to not just think, but reach decisions, which I call conclusions. Nothing in our lives, as we've heard so often, nothing in our lives ever happens. There is no such thing as chance. Every event, every person, everything we call a mistake, the sins we've committed, hear it, are part of God's mysterious providence. Reach decisions. And finally, make not just decisions with your mind, but choices with your will. Commitments. Only God knows how much longer each one of us will remain here on earth. We are made, of course, in this world. We are not made for this world. With God's grace, after having thought things prayerfully through, then choose certain things that you believe God wants you to choose. And remember, not everything that is pleasant to us is pleasing to God. And the obverse, not everything that is unpleasant to us or displeasing to us is displeasing to God. If you make some hard decisions during these days, or you have not made a good retreat, am I clear? The plan for the present retreat is to have as our master theme the Holy Spirit. The first obvious reason is because that's what the Holy Father recommends for this second last year of the present century. Only the Holy Spirit can both enlighten our minds and enable our wills first to know what He, the Holy Spirit, wants, and then to choose, and I mean this, to choose what would be contrary to our own human preferences. Why focus on the Holy Spirit? I'm reflecting the mind of the Holy Father. It is surely part of God's mysterious providence that our century should be, or shall I use the past tense, should have been the most sin-laden, the most crime-ridden century of human history. I'll repeat these words to one audience after another. I say to myself, I'm afraid most of my audience is just hearing words. Never in the history of the human race has more abominable crime been committed than in the century which is coming to a close. I keep repeating, more deadly wars with more millions killed in wars since 1900, all the centuries of human history before. And it is not just, dear Lord, the death casualties in wars. It is the millions murdered each year, and that murder, massive, such as the world has never known, of innocent unborn children, is now protected, defended by the laws of one once civilized nation after another. I don't hesitate saying, most people, surely in our country, and I include Catholics, are living in a dream world. Only the Holy Spirit can cope with a massive evil, such, I repeat, as the world has never known in its history. Can you imagine? In the United States, contraception was against the civil law. Did you know that? Every day, among others, I pray for seven couples, all Catholic, whose marriages have broken up. As the Holy Father has told one bishop after another from the United States, who is oddly on a visit, in God's name, stop the plague of marital annulments in your diocese. Where are our Catholic schools? Where are they? We all was in Detroit is now in an empty Catholic school. Most of our religious communities in America, it already have or will dissolve. Clearly, the evil spirit has been extraordinarily active in the 20th century. We're answering the question, why? Why does the Holy Father tell us to concentrate on the Holy Spirit when I repeat as the second last year of the present century? Because the evil spirit has been so demonically effective in breaking down the Catholic Church in some of the highest places. I just got a fax this morning. I would not dare identify the two bishops. Both high-ranking Freemasons in our country. You notice in his opening conference, I want to briefly outline first why the Holy Father wants us to concentrate on the Holy Spirit, and then of course how we are to respond. We speak of the seven capital sins. As we know, they are the seven capital principal sinful drives in our fallen human nature. I know some of you must have heard this a dozen times. Places G, pride, lust, anger, covetousness, envy, sloth, and gluttony. Well, let's be clear. Except for the evil spirit, hear it, don't forget. Except for the evil spirit, we human beings will not have a fallen human nature. Let me repeat. Except for the evil spirit, we human beings would not have a fallen human nature. It was the devil who seduced Eve, and she in turn, shall I use the verb, seduced Adam. I know whereof I speak. I distinguish when I speak to men from when I speak to women. How the world needs holy, selfless, generous women. And how demonically successful the devil has been in seducing millions in the opposite direction. Dear Lord, enlighten us men masculine gender. And how to cope with those feminine genders who have been seduced by the evil spirit and have deeply, profoundly penetrated the church. 30 years working for the Holy See has taught me, as I keep repeating, an awful lot. How the church needs men, dear God. How the church needs men who are supernaturally masculine in their courage. We go on. No less. And the evil spirit has by now seduced millions. So the Holy Spirit wants. We dare not say needs, but He wants. Human beings, especially us, professed Catholics, to be not just ordinary Catholics. I never tire telling people, ordinary bishops will not survive. I know them. Ordinary priests, ordinary religious, ordinary fathers or mothers, ordinary young people. We're asking ourselves, why concentrate on the Holy Spirit in this retreat? And the basic reason is because our Holy Father tells us to specialize in 1998. An understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what He is telling us as we plan to enter the 21st century of Christian history. The need for competing with and succeeding in overcoming the evil spirit has never been greater. So much so that I'm sure you know, many Protestants, and not a few Catholics, sincere people, think that we are at the dawn of the end of the world. That's not true. Sure, the devil is extraordinarily successful, but there are millions of human beings who never even heard the names of Jesus and Mary. However, there is another and a deeper reason why we concentrate on the Holy Spirit in this retreat. Because it is impossible. It has always been true, but never so provable as today. Only holy people not just will survive. Only holy people, I don't say are a match for the evil spirit, but only they will be channels of God's grace to make how the Holy Father sincerely believes the 21st century, as I've said more than once, the most glorious in the history of Christianity. In other words, whatever else we're going to talk about during this retreat, we're going to concentrate on sanctity, on holiness. Of course, we are to keep the commandments, but you cannot even keep the commandments, not in today's age, without being extraordinarily close to God. For years now, in one retreat after another, I've asked retreatants to pray. Pray for the priests whom I know, especially the hundreds that I taught their theology to, including my own fellow Jesuits who have given up the priesthood and their faith. In other words, we cannot just observe the Ten Commandments and don't say expect to survive, because, as we've said in one retreat after another, God wants us not only to save our own souls, He wants us to be channels of God's grace to everyone whose life we enter. And among the decisions I'm asking you to make during this retreat, ask yourselves, how apostolically zealous am I? In other words, how concerned am I about, and they can be our own nearest blood relatives who abandon the faith? How zealous am I to share my faith with those who don't believe that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ? Last Sunday night in Detroit, I had met a man before, but never knew him. A Muslim. He's interested in becoming a Catholic. We spent 2 hours in animated conversation. And over the years, I've admired the Catholic Church. So I asked him, why didn't you become a Catholic? Because so many of the Catholics that I know are not living good moral lives. That's a Muslim telling me, a priest. Only in heaven, please God, we'll all be there. We realize how desperately others need, and I'm not exaggerating, our sanctity. I've touched on this more than once over the years. All we know is when Christ, remember, was asked, who will be saved? Who will be lost? Our Lord's answer was, the road that leads to everlasting life is narrow, and few there are that walk it. The road that leads to everlasting punishment is broad, and many there are that walk it. Let's be honest. Sooner than we think, somebody else will be speaking from this podium. Somebody else will be sitting in the chairs you're now occupying. Every one of us, with no exception, will die. Whatever other mental frame of mind you have during this retreat, place yourself by anticipation on your deathbed. What decisions will I wish to have made as I am on the brink of eternity? Make those decisions now. Or mean giving up things we like. Do I say like? Things that we love, cherish. It may mean accepting, enduring the last thing on earth we'd want. Your underlying theme in this retreat is, what is God's will for me? No matter what the price may be, because the price is has nothing compared to the everlasting happiness that awaits us if we have lived lives of self-sacrifice, self-denial, self-abnegation here on earth. As I've said more than once, any retreat that I ostensibly give, I need myself. We are meant to bring others to heaven with us. And whatever other decisions you make during the retreat, ask yourselves seriously. You married, husbands and fathers, what am I doing? Is my life before God a channel of grace that my wife and my children need? We have people entering our lives every day. Are we, I don't say just examples, that's cheap. Are we channels of that grace which everyone who God puts into our lives, even for a minute, the main reason anyone, hear it, a main reason anyone, even I'll repeat for a split minute, as our lives, if we might be a conduit, a channel of grace to that person. We'll be only as effective channels of grace to others as we are wholly ourselves. I'm expanding on answering the question, why concentrate on the Holy Spirit? Because our own salvation depends on our bringing others to heaven with us. Otherwise, as I never tire telling one audience after another, we'll not make it to heaven ourselves. Let's be as specific as with God's grace we can. Whatever you do during these days of the retreat, examine your conscience in depth. And among the resolutions, and by now you've heard this more than once, please God, one of the decisions you will make in this retreat is to make a daily examination of conscience. I beg you, when this retreat finishes, never, I repeat that adverb, never go to bed not having examined your conscience. What has God given me during the day? What graces? I never tire repeating, pleasant and painful, for which I thank Him. What have I done wrong? Any day you think you've not sinned, you're living in a dream world. Do you hear me? Is a sinner speaking to sinners. How hawk-eyed we can be in recognizing the sins in other people, as Christ tells us, and how blind, hear it, we are blind. You and I are naturally blind to our own sinful failings and offenses against God. And beg Him every day for mercy. I may on some occasion have said this, but maybe never. My one most frequent prayer for myself is a one word, mercy. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, let's be honest. It's not pious poetry. To make it reality, we must, and I repeat, each day, make sure. But Father, how do you know what kind of people we are? I know human nature. I know what the Holy Spirit tells us in the Scriptures. we sin each day. And of course, you'll never do that. Never look into our own sinful selves and honestly face who we are without the constant help of the Holy Spirit. Finally, you might say, this should have been saved for the end of the retreat. I've done that over the years. But I thought I would share it with you at the opening. Every day, plan the next day. Anticipate with God's grace. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. What persons you will meet. What situations you will be in. What temptations you will be exposed to. What time you will have on your hands. Oh, as we start this retreat in the name of God, in the name of God, use your time according to the divine will. As other nations and have taught people in other countries and from other countries over the years. The soldier scientists of other countries speak of the United States as the best fed, the most. Hear it. The most sleepy, the laziest nation on earth. Every moment of our lives is a grace from the Holy Spirit. Plan, part 3 of this daily examine of conscience. Plan the next day. How will I use my time? Of course, there is such a thing as relaxation, especially with members of your own families. But there is such a thing as planned relaxation. How many wives have told me? My husband, depending on who he is, spends 2-3 hours a day watching television. Another wife, my husband spends 2-3 hours a day reading books or magazines. Before God, we're going to be responsible for every moment of our life here on earth. And then, this needs to be said. I've said it over the years, but I thought I would put it into our opening conference. Write. That's spelled W-R-I-T-E. Write. But I don't like to write. So what? As I've told some of you more than once, most people can talk without thinking. You cannot write without thinking. And the single most important thing I want to share with you during these days of the retreat is think. Think in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Live in the presence of God. And then think. Because then, it's not you alone who are doing the thinking, but God who is thinking within you. Before we close this conference, I would like to make some strong recommendations. First of all, I've said this time and again. A good retreat means making a good confession. Secondly, a good retreat means that you face the reality in your life. In other words, be definite, be specific, be concrete. In the nature of things, speaking to, well, a chapel full of men, I have to speak in certain generalities. But that doesn't prevent you from thinking in the presence of God, thinking, I repeat, definite, concrete. Problems in your life, remember, I told you how many times, there are no problems in our life. They don't exist. What we call problems are acts of divine providence. We make mistakes. We can do some very stupid and sinful things. Is God, what a question, is God behind our sins? Yes. God allows us to sin to wake us up. And finally, be sure that this be the month of May, and there is one theme in the writings and talks of our Holy Father. It is relying on Our Lady. Talk to her. Ask her for the light that you need. Ask her to live up to, remember what she told the servants at Cana in Galilee? Do whatever he tells you. Ask her to have your mind opened to what her divine son is telling you. And having your heart open to correspond with his will. A closing prayer. Most Holy Spirit, whom we have received at baptism, enlighten our minds during this retreat to know what your divine Son wants us to do. What decisions he wants us to make. My dear Mother, Spouse of the Holy Spirit, we need your help to live up to what Jesus wants us to do, till he finally calls us, as we pray, to join him and you in that everlasting Easter season for which we were made. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear Mass in 10 minutes. And as I mentioned before, confessions will be available during the retreat. Be sure you make a good confession.
Thank you.